I have a question for you this morning. Are you a sinner? If you are a sinner, would you please stand up right where you are if you can? If you've ever sinned in your life, would you stand up right where you are if you can? Thank you. You can be seated. The Bible says that all have sinned. I've sinned. You've sinned. Peter the Apostle has sinned. Everybody in the whole world has sinned. We have sinned, and unless we repent, we will all likewise do what? Amen. Perish. We'll all likewise perish. If anyone says that they are without sin, then what they're actually doing is saying that God is a liar. But the Bible says that God cannot lie. Is that true? God cannot lie. So all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and unless we repent, we'll all likewise perish. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, I know that you know the heart condition of everybody here. You know, Lord, whether we need to confess sin or whether we need to ask you to take it away. Lord, you are the one that knows and judges. And Lord, we want you to control our lives. It's our desire to be able to just fulfill your pulpit, your Sunday school classes, our lives with the Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. Lord, you give us your perfect will each and every day so that we can know and do what we should be doing for you. In the holy name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. This morning, we're going to talk about Peter the Apostle. And I've already stated, Peter was a sinner. Peter got himself into trouble many times by speaking when he should have been listening. Is that ever a problem for any of us? Do we ever speak when we ought to be quiet? I'm guilty. So let's examine ourselves. Let's examine Peter. Let's examine what he had to go through and what we have to go through if we have sin in our lives. Without a doubt, these are not all of Peter's sins. We're only going to talk about three different situations in Peter's life. Only three. Only three. And I assure you that Peter had a lot more than three sins, just like we do. Amen? For 3 years, Jesus put Peter to the test. Why? Because he was trying to build his church on that rock. He even changed his name from Simon to Peter. And what does Peter mean? Rock. He wanted to build the church, the Christian church, on Peter. And Peter didn't understand that at first. We're going to read, and I use the NASB for my scripture. And we're going to read Matthew chapter 16, verses 17 through 19 this morning. The Bible says, and Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. The first thing that we're going to notice on the overhead projection is don't get puffed up. Puffed up. What is that? That's a pride issue, isn't it? You think that you're better than you are. You think that there's more, that you have more than somebody else has, and you can give better things. You can do better things. You may recall that Jesus asked his disciples, who do the people say that I am? One disciple said, John the Baptist. And another disciple said, Elijah, which is exactly what the people had said. But not Peter. Peter got it. He understood. He said, you are the Messiah. You are the Christ, the expected one. Jesus commented that Peter was correct and that Peter had not learned this from other people, that Peter had been given this information from God himself. Jesus praised him, and Peter got all puffed up. I'm sure that he just stuck his thumbs under his lapel and stuck his chest out and said, you know, I'm smarter than these other guys. And God depends on me more than on these other guys. They don't really know what's happening, and I do. And I'm going to be their leader. But let me tell you this. The other sandal was about to drop. It was just about to drop. So in the very next paragraph in the Bible, Peter is blasted by Jesus for inappropriate statements. In chapter 16, 22 and 23, he read that text. Please, Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, and he being Jesus, get thee behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block for me, for you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. This rebuke of Peter was the strongest rebuke of any of the disciples in the entire Bible. None stronger. I'm sure that Peter was taken aback real quickly, put in his place. What Jesus had said that brought about this rebuke was that they had to go back to Jerusalem, and there he was going to be put to death on a cross, crucified. And Peter would have none of that. No, I will never allow that to happen. It's not going to happen. And here is where Christ said, get thee behind me, Satan. You see, Peter didn't understand. He didn't get it yet. He didn't understand that unless Jesus died, that you and I would never have the hope of salvation. See, without his death, without his burial, his resurrection, and his shed blood, there was no way that we would have the hope of eternal life. And isn't that wonderful that we do have? Peter understood it later. He got it. And aren't you glad that he did? Because if he had not, then his church would not have existed the way it's supposed to. Peter understood it completely. He got it. We have a home in heaven if we but believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Some of us believe that when we walk down the aisle and say, I want to be baptized. I want to be baptized. We think that's it. We get baptized and we're set to go. Everything is now hunky-dory and we're just all about Jesus. But we're picking those sins up. We're picking them up again. And we're leading that life that we used to lead before we walk down the aisle. You see that walk down that aisle, that's not what saves you. That coming up, taking a preacher by the hand, that's not what saves you. It's the life change. It's the commitment that you make to God to change your life. You have to become a new creation. A new creation. A completely different person than you were. If you've ever done the faith outline, perhaps some of you have, there's a place in there where we were talking about the plane's going this way, and then in order to get back to where it's safe, you have to turn around and go back. 180-degree change. That's the way it's supposed to be for us. We've got to have a life-changing experience. That's what God wants for us all. He wants us all to be saved. He wants us all to be under His tutelage each and every day. There has to be a heart change. And I don't mean that we're going to go up and have a heart attack and somebody's going to give us a new heart. That heart attack is the one that, this one's the one that'll kill you for all eternity unless you change it. That heart is evil, but it's got to be good. It's got to be changed. And you've got to have an attitude change, not just a heart change. You've got to have attitude. You can't go about being that same person that you were. Oh, but that's me. That's the way I am. That doesn't matter that that's the way you are. You've got to change. You've got to conform to what Jesus wants you to do. That's the way it's got to be. You don't get to say, oh, but, you know, Jesus, you know, he's got some pretty strong ways. Yes, he does. And we've got to adhere to them. We've got to develop in us those traits that Jesus had. Then the second thing that we might see up here on the marquee is the betrayal of Jesus. And this is a big one. This is one of Peter's worst sins that he could have ever committed. The betrayal of Jesus. How many times did he betray him? Three times. Three times he betrayed him. Jesus told him. Well, first off, Peter had said, I will not let this happen. But you know, he called him aside and said, Jesus, look, I'm not going to let that happen to you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to take care of you. Jesus told him then, get behind me, Satan. You don't understand. And so, because of that, now Peter, he's about to begin to understand. Because when that cock crowed, when that rooster sang out, Peter realized that he had betrayed his Savior, his Lord, Jesus the Christ. He had betrayed him. And because of his betrayal, he felt guilty. When we do something that's wrong, when we sin, and we are truly a Christian, then we know. We feel guilty, don't we? Something will come over us like a blanket and just cover us up. And that's called guilt. For doing what you shouldn't be doing. That you know you should change. And that you should have never done in the first place. Let me ask you this. Have you ever not done something that you promised God that you would do? You don't have to raise your hand or shake it, nothing. Just in your mind, think on that. Have you ever promised to do something and then didn't do it? If that's the truth, then you've betrayed Jesus. Because that's exactly what Peter did. He betrayed Jesus. And when we don't fulfill the obligation as a Christian, we're betraying Jesus. Let me ask you this. Do you come to Wednesday Bible study? There's a great program on Wednesday. Our pastor has a lesson each week that is very beneficial. And I'm telling you that you should be there to hear it. But yeah, there are other things going on too. But if you are able to come and you don't come just because, oh, you know, it's Wednesday and not really a lot going on, then you're betraying Jesus. There's something that he wants done, and you can learn what that is if you will listen to Brother Keith on Wednesday night. Because he doesn't just pick out stuff and do it for fun. He picks out lessons that teach. I praise him for that. And by the way, it's an excellent time to spend so that you can develop the type Christian that you need to become. Is there anybody in here that can never get any better than they are right now? I doubt it. We can all get better. We can all learn more, can't we? We can all become better Christians if we will but try. Peter quickly learned that it was his mouth that had gotten him into trouble. Satan can put words in your mouth in a second. 1 second. Have you ever said something that you wished you had not said? Satan was using your mouth to cause problems. Have you ever gossiped? And gossip, even if it's true, we should not gossip. If it's not doing good for somebody, then we shouldn't do it. We shouldn't say it. We shouldn't gossip. How many of y'all have heard of the thumper rule? Anybody? I declare that a few of you have and you just don't remember. Back when I was a child, 80 or 90 years ago now, there was this animated movie that came out called Bambi. And Bambi was a deer. And he was born, and he when he got up, he was just wobbling all over the place, falling down. And Thumper, this little bitty bunny rabbit, was there and says, kind of wobbly, isn't he? And Thumper's mother said, Thumper, what have I told you? He kind of hung his head down and said, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. You know, that is a very good way of putting it, that we shouldn't let Satan use our mouth. Because even if we do something, tell something that's true, it can hurt somebody. If it's not positive, don't say it. The third sin that we're going to talk about this morning is don't boast. Don't boast about what you're able to do and maybe somebody else can't. Peter stated that he would never forsake Jesus. Never. Even if everybody else did, if all of them ran away, he wasn't going to run away. He was going to face the adversary. Immediately, Jesus told Peter that before the cock crows, he's going to not deny him the 3 times. And I'm telling you, Peter remembered this when that rooster crowed that morning. He remembered it. And it flew all over him. He knew that he had failed. He was a failure to himself and to God. Have you ever promised that you do something and failed to do so? I asked you that once before. I say again, if you made a promise to the Lord, then you should keep your promise. If you don't keep your promise, then you will be filled with guilt. You'll be filled with guilt, and it's going to be hard to overcome. You have to you've let Jesus down, but also you've let yourself down. You made a promise and you didn't keep your word. And the fourth thing, and I think the most important point in the sermon this morning, is Jesus forgave Peter. Jesus forgave him. And after Jesus was resurrected, he was cooking fish for the disciples along the banks of the Jordan River. And they were coming in from fishing and hadn't caught anything. And he told them to cast out their nets. And John, I think it was, said, it's the Lord. They cast the net and they brought in all kind of fish. And so he told them to bring some more over there for them to cook. And it was during this event. Now he's already dead and has been resurrected. And he's cooking fish for them to eat. But he used this occasion to forgive Peter. Peter had to be forgiven. Without Peter's forgiveness, He could have never accomplished what Peter had to do for the kingdom. Aren't you glad that you can be forgiven no matter what your sin is? Jesus will forgive us. If you'll let him, Jesus will forgive you as well. And he will also develop in you good character qualities that will allow you to grow as a Christian. And so that you can grow daily as a Christian while serving him. That's what he wants you to do. No excuses. Do it the way Jesus would do it. And if you will, Jesus will forgive you. He'll also give you those characteristics, and then you're going to become more and more like him each and every day. And that's what he wants. You see, we don't preach or teach or do anything for the Lord. Sound system, playing musical instruments, singing. We don't do that for ourselves. We do it for the Lord. Everything that we do is for the Lord. And we've got to get that. We've got to understand that. Whatever you do, do it for the kingdom. If we fail to prepare properly, then we're failing. We're failing as a Christian. As a preacher or a teacher of God's words, we're held to a greater degree of accountability. I've known people, not here, at other churches, that prepared their Sunday school lesson Sunday morning before they got to church. Uh-uh. That preparation should be an all-week thing so that you can give prayer to the issue and allow God to lead your words in the lesson. If you were given a grade on a lesson that you've done as a teacher, wouldn't you want to make an A on Jesus' grading scale? Oh, but I can hear somebody say, well, you know, a D or a C every once in a while, that's not too bad. Yeah, well, I call that stinking thinking. You want your best. He wants your best. He wants you to do the best job that you can. And it's not so that you can be patted on the back and say, oh, man, that was great. That was a great lesson. No. It was a great lesson because Jesus was in it. Satan can manipulate you if you will let him. He'll twist your words. He'll get your mind going the wrong way. And we've got to be able to guard our mouths so that Satan will not use us or our words against us. Tony Evans says that during the Civil War, and I know this is true, I've taught it myself in history classes, it was legal for a man who wanted to stay out of the Army of the North to hire somebody to take their place. So there was this man that didn't want to go to war, so and his name was Mr. Pratt, P-R-A-T-T. And so he asked a guy named Mr. White, would he go for him? And the guy agreed. He went to war for him, took his place, and Mr. White was killed. And they redrafted Mr. Pratt. And Pratt took the document, and he went down to the draft board, and he said, this is not relevant anymore. See, because I died in Mr. White, so I don't have to go to war anymore. Now, that's a pretty good story to that point, but here's the next part that I think is even better. You can say, Jesus Christ has already died in my place. You can't redraft me to turn to that old way of thinking, that old way of acting, that old way of being. The payment has already been paid in full by Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. So what can we do so that we can be the very best Christian possible? First, don't get all puffed up about ourselves. Now, by the way, there are a lot more things that we can add to this as we go down through the years. But don't get all puffed up about yourself. For it's Jesus that we should be praising, isn't it? And the second, we must never betray him. He desires to be able to depend on us 24/7, 365. Then third, we should never boast about ourselves. Rather, let us always boast about Jesus and what he's accomplished. When we work for the kingdom, we're boasting about what Jesus has done in our lives. Fourth, Peter became the apostle that realized when he was with Jesus, he didn't understand what was really going on. He didn't understand that Jesus had to die so that he could go to heaven. He didn't understand that Jesus had to die so that we could go to heaven. But now he knew why Jesus rebuked him. He knew. He got it. Aren't you glad that he did? Because now we can have what we need. And what is that? Salvation. And the only way to get salvation is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. And it's the only thing that can. When Jesus came the first time, he was establishing his kingdom. And he's coming back again one day soon. Maybe tomorrow. Maybe today. Wouldn't that be great? Leave church and just walk out the door and whoop, we're gone. I'd love that, wouldn't you? I'd love that for all of us that are Christians. When he came the first time, he had a plan to grow his kingdom. For almost 2,000 years now, millions of people all over the world have become followers of Christ. And how was that possible? People just like you and me told other people about Jesus. And those people got saved. And they told people. It's a known fact that if every Christian that confesses to be a Christian today would tell one person and they get saved, and they did the same, that within 7 years there would be nothing but Christians on this earth. Nothing but Christians, all Christians. Wouldn't that be a wonderful world to live in? So since they've told people about Jesus, do you remember who told you about Jesus? Maybe it was Brother Keith. Maybe it was your parents. That's a wonderful thing, whoever it was. But we must realize that there's a reason for us talking about this morning. He wants us to be disciples. He wants us to be called out to tell somebody about Jesus. And I don't want you to raise your hand or anything like that, but just think in your mind, is there anybody that I have ever told about Jesus and they got saved? Is there anybody that I have ever invited to church and they got saved? You see, that's how it works. You may not tell them, but you get them there. And you encourage them and ask them. And they'll start coming. When they get saved, they're going to tell somebody else. And then you're doing what Jesus tells us. See, he wants us to be that disciple. We must realize that we can be and not be afraid. I'm sure that there's somebody in here who says, I just can't tell people about Jesus. I just can't do it. Why? God made you. He's got a heart in you that will do anything if you will allow him to. You can do it. I believe in you, and he does too. Today I've told you about Jesus' plan for Peter and what Peter needed to accomplish for Jesus so that his will would be done for his life. He has a similar plan for you and me. Won't you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today? Perhaps there's somebody here today that is looking for a church home. If that's the truth, then come. We would love to have you. Perhaps there's somebody here today that's lost. And by lost, I'm not talking about you showed up here by mistake. I'm talking about you're lost and don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Then you come. Perhaps there's somebody here today that's a member of another church, but you're seeking a church. Will you come? I can't tell you there's a better Baptist church anywhere in Alabama. I've been to a lot of them. This is a great church. You've got a myriad of musical folks up here that are so wonderful. Amen? Don't y'all believe that? You've got a pastor that works hard. He does all that he can to build a church. Let's follow him. Pray with me this morning. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are to be here in this sanctuary at this wonderful Concord Baptist Church. Lord, you have given us your word this morning. You have allowed us to glean the information that you wanted for us, that Peter and now us are charged to perform and do for you. Lord, if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray, Father, that they would say yes. I pray, Father, that they would come and make themselves whole. Come and give their life to you. Don't let them pick up that suitcase. Don't let them pick up that bulletin and walk out of here not knowing you as Lord and Savior of their life. Lord, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for all that you're going to do in our midst. In all the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.